about it.
You're in the zone.
In the zone.
The Zone with Jason Anderson. Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
I got Nick's butt right near my face.
Want to be part of the show? Give us a call at 267-9680.
Now,
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I love Trump. Nothing's going on. I hate Trump. He did everything wrong.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Well, I don't know what to believe. I guess we'll find out. Tune in next week for Jury Duty. All right, it's a Monday edition of The Zone. It's ESPN 680 105.7. Jason Anderson with you, heading up until 6 o'clock. The man, the myth, the magic, running the operation, making sure everything is good to go. We got a full-court press coming your way an hour from now. We'll talk with Jarrett Sutton coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. NBA scout, get his thoughts on some of the players that are heading to the NBA, local players that are at least putting their names in the NBA draft, trying to figure out what the future is going to be for them. We'll get his thoughts on some of the Kentucky players, certainly Jordan Wara. And the decision that is in front of him that can make a huge impact for Louisville if he were to decide to return. So that is coming up at 5 o'clock. We've got our sound of the day, some fun stuff this morning with Drew and a couple of callers. Kyle Korver going out of his way to love on Donovan Mitchell. We may hear from that. And also, I don't know how old the clip is from Marshawn Lynch with Bear, but my goodness, that was a phenomenal minute of video and sound that was put out on the internet over the weekend. So we'll play that with Marshawn Lynch. Of course we will. We will do that. All right, 437-9680. If you want to be a part of the show, part of the conversation, that is the way to text in. You can also tweet to the show at J680Anderson or at Magic_ESPN680. You can call the show at 267-9680. If you want to weigh in on any of things that we are going to be talking about, that includes college basketball. We'll get into the news about Nick Richards. Louisville football, Scott Satterfield on with Sirius XM, going in line with one of the topics I was going to bring up today anyway. So we'll get into that. Neely Bendapudi has a proposal that I think is, well, I got some thoughts on it. And Vince Tyre and fundraising, I have some thoughts on that as well. Rick Pitino may be getting back into the coaching in the States. And, of course, Game of Thrones yesterday, episode number 2 of season 8, that
episode 69 overall. Nice.
No, was it really? And, of course, Arya. Yep. You got episode, and, of course, Arya becomes a woman in episode. Interesting.
Hashtag spoiler alert.
Very. I apologize. I should have done spoiler alert. What's the, well, if we're going to talk Game of Thrones, then we'll probably begin with spoiler alert. Sorry. You know, so we'll talk a little bit of that before the show is over. I don't know. We're not going to start with this, but I'm going to point this out, and then we may get into it later on in the show. I just don't know what people were missing with last night's episode. I don't know. I don't understand all the criticism and some of the hate that is coming in from last night's episode. We'll get into that later on in the show. Okay, so let's start with college basketball, and it's today around 12:15 or so, roughly 12 hours after the deadline passed to put your name in the NBA draft. The deadline was at midnight. But about 12:12 is when the email went out that Nick Richards was going to test the NBA waters, will be putting his name into the NBA draft, has until May 29th to take his name out of the NBA draft. So he's got a 5 weeks or so to figure out what he's going to do. NBA Combine is May 14th through the 19th. And who knows if he's even going to be invited to the Combine. We'll find out. Again, the voting that takes place with the NBA teams and, you know, scouts and GMs and whoever, you know, they allocate to vote on different prospects. And the top 60 vote getters get an invite to the combine. And sometimes there's more. Sometimes it's 63, 67. You know, that's been the last couple of years. And so maybe Nick Richards goes to the combine, maybe just simply because he's, what, 7 foot, got a 7'5 wingspan, can jump, has a decent shooting touch, at least from the free throw line. I think he's got a nice shooting touch just in general for someone his size, and I would say for someone with his offensive output. But look, he's not Steph Curry. But when he goes to the free throw line, like, most of the time, I'm like, he's going to make both of them. Like, I don't know that he goes at the free throw line and you worry about Nick Richard just clanging him the couple of times. So that's neither here nor there. Besides the point, I don't think people are going to be saying he needs to come to the combine because he's got a nice stroke from the free throw line. It's going to be what he does on the defensive end. It's going to be what he does in the paint, what he does in his ability to block shots if he gets an invite or not. And so we'll find out pretty quickly how much the NBA or how highly the NBA views Nick Richards. He didn't play all that much, and even when Reed Travis went down, he wasn't playing all that much. PJ Washington going down, he wasn't playing all that much. He started the first couple of games when the injuries took place, but then E.J. Montgomery took his place and was starting. And then Nick Richards didn't get, what, 3-4 minutes in the championship or in the regional final against Auburn? So he didn't play that much. And that was more Cal, not necessarily that Nick Richards, that the game was too big for him. The moment was too big. He gave up an offensive rebound. He fouled a guy, got an and one. And that was really it with his time on the floor. And Cal never went back to him and stayed with Reed Travis, stayed with P.J. Washington. E.J. Montgomery came in a little bit. But that was really it for Nick Richards. And look, that may be the last time he ever suits up for Kentucky. And if he were to return, I'm not saying that, you know, if he returns, he'll never play again. Like, I think the opinion with Nick Richards, if he were to return to Kentucky, that it would be some huge and massive mistake, like he was never going to play. There was Reed Travis. There was E.J. Montgomery. Without those guys, Nick Richards would have played. Out of necessity, he would have played. Because he had to. And Nate Sestina ain't playing center. Okay, he's a power forward. He's a starting four right now for Kentucky. Now, I don't know if they're going to get Kerry Blackshear or not. But if they get Kerry Blackshear, then I don't know how often Cal's going to play Nate Sestina and Kerry Blackshear together. E.J. Montgomery should be improving and should, you would think would head back to Kentucky. But this is where I may be on an island, and I'm fine being on that island because it's the island of right is what it is. And the view of Nick Richards as if he's just some scrub and can't get minutes anywhere in America because he's not starting or playing 30 minutes a game at Kentucky when P.J. Washington and Reed Travis and people loving up E.J. Montgomery, and yes, it's year two for Nick Richards, but he was a highly touted prospect. And because of that, if he's playing his sophomore year and not getting a lot of minutes, therefore he sucks. I mean, it is the pass-fail of college basketball today, that if you aren't some NBA stud or a first-round draft pick, if you're a top 20 recruit, therefore you aren't any good. And if you return your sophomore year and you don't have massive improvement, therefore you aren't any good. Idiot. Obviously, Magic is on the island of wrong, along with 54% of the people that voted they would rather have Jack Salt on their team than Nick Richards. This song is for Jack Salt. Jack Scrub, sorry.
I don't even disagree with that. I'm just saying, I don't know if I necessarily am going to ever evaluate Nick Richards as highly as you do. I don't think the NBA will either.
Not many people view, and it's not that I view Nick Richards as some can't-miss prospect. Like, me saying Nick Richards is a good player.
Why do you believe Cal when he says that Nick Richards is one of the favorite players he's ever coached?
Probably because it's like, in general, maybe his personality. I don't know that it's on the floor. I don't think Cal says that because he thinks Nick Richards is Anthony Davis. I think he says that because he thinks Nick Richards might be somebody that he just genuinely enjoys coaching. Like, Russ Smith and Rick Pitino had a different relationship, but Russ was also a stud on the floor and on that team.
I love Nick. Nick's one of my favorite players of all time.
See?
That was a lie.
Maybe. Cal, in a statement today, did say Nick Richards is one of the most lovable and nicest people I've ever coached. See, that's the relationship he has with him. And I don't want to spend too much time on this because, you know, it's something to where right now we'll never be able to end a discussion of that. Maybe we'll never be able to end a discussion of no, he's good or no, he sucks. Like, I think there is so much gray area and nuance to it that if Nick Richards played for another team, played for a different program, then I don't think we would view him the way that we do when he gets out there. Cal has such a quick hook and he gets out there, it's the regional final, and he feels he can trust P.J. Washington and Reed Travis more than he could trust Nick Richards. I get it. I understand that. And he never went back to him. And so it's like, Nick Richards isn't any good. Nick Richards, it doesn't matter. Cal should have gone to Nick Richards. Cal made a huge mistake by not taking Reed Travis out, who they weren't forcing the ball to, and defensively he wasn't guarding the basket. Why didn't he play Nick Richards more? They should have played Nick Richards. Ah, the team doesn't need Nick Richards. Ah, Nick Richards isn't any good. Who in their right mind ever said that Tony Bennett needed to play Jack Salt more? Anybody? Anybody think that Tony Bennett needed to play Jack Salt more? No. And if Diakite wasn't the player that he was, and Jack Salt was playing 20 minutes, Virginia doesn't win a national championship. So, you know, and yes, Kentucky didn't make a Final Four. And good night, we are spending a lot of time talking about Nick Richards. But still, that is the, that's the news today. And I really, I did, when last night happened at midnight, and it wasn't coming out that, at least a decision one way or another, I was going to, you know, begin my show today with, that seems like it's bad news for Kentucky, right? If he's not going pro and he didn't announce he was returning, like, he would be the only guy on Kentucky that did not do that. I mean, Hagans announced he was back, quickly announced he was back. Hero gone, Keldon John gone, PJ gone, EJ Montgomery gone, Jamal Baker transferred. The only one left was Nick Richards. And this morning it was like nothing from Nick Richards. Nobody has heard anything from Nick Richards. To me,
coach is gone.
Yeah, that's right. To me, it was like, well, if you haven't heard anything, he has announced he's returning. And they haven't sent out a press release that he's putting his name in the NBA draft. Well, then what's he deciding to do? Maybe transfer. Maybe he's going to put his name in the transfer portal. But that didn't make sense. Because if he transfers, he's got to sit out a year, and then after sitting out a year, then he'll play a year. That would be 4 years in college when the guy didn't want to be there too. So transferring doesn't make sense for Nick Richards. So that was going to be the conversation today, is why didn't we get any information that he was returning? Why didn't he put his name in the NBA draft just to test the waters? I mean, in new rules, you can do a lot more than you were ever able to do before. Why didn't he announce he was returning if he wasn't going to put his name into the NBA draft? But he did, and it would be big for Kentucky if they got Nick Richards back, and it should not take them out of the mix for Kerry Blackshear. If Nick Richards is as bad as people make him out to be, then why would Kerry Blackshear give a flip about Nick Richards being at UK? If Nick Richards is playing 3 or 4 minutes in the regional final against Auburn, why would Kerry Blackshear, if Richards isn't any good, look at Kentucky and go, well, I totally would have gone to UK, but Nick Richards decided he was going to return, so no thank you. I'm not going there now because Nate Sestina's there. If it wasn't for Nate Sestina, me, Kerry Blackshear, I'd be going to UK. But that Nate Sestina, how will I ever be able to play over him? Well, EJ Montgomery got all those points. I mean, he was starting. When P.J. Washington was injured, E.J. Montgomery was starting. Why would I go to Kentucky? E.J. Montgomery's there. I've got no chance of playing. Are you kidding me? Zero chance. Why would I go to Kentucky? Like, E.J. Montgomery wasn't good last year. Nick Richards sucks. Well, if they both return, Kerry Blackshear may not go to U.K. Well, those two things don't make sense. You can't be of both of those minds. You can't be on both of those sides. Either Montgomery wasn't that good, and Nick Richards sucks, therefore Kerry Blackshear would have nothing to worry about, or EJ Montgomery's expected to take a huge leap forward, and Nick Richards is a good player and does offer value and does absolutely offer depth, and Kerry Blackshear looks at it and goes, I don't know how many minutes are there. Maybe I'll go somewhere else. Texter says, sending this Jason as a UK Homer text to beat the real UK Homer text. You did not. The real UK Homer text came in at 302. 302. Texas says, Jason, guess you're going to hate on U of L getting corporate donations, UK Homer. I hate corporate donations. You corporations that donate. Hold on, Kentucky got corporate donations. I love corporate donations.
What do you think this is? Some corporations are people nonsense?
Yeah.
Wait, did the Supreme Court rule that was a thing? Darn.
Corporate donations. This is a not profit. Okay. Taking donations? There's no profit here. What do you think? We're some charity? What do you think? We can't do it on our own. How about this, corporate? You take your damn donations and you get the hell out, okay? We're not looking for your charity, okay? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. We're in America.
Except for the football team and the football field.
That's different.
We kind of needed to rename that. That's all right, though.
But we're going to give you tickets. So that's not charity. We're giving you something in return, okay? This is America, all right? We don't look for handouts in America. Texas says, maybe he's not a scrub, but that's how he's played so far. Walk like a scrub, talk like a scrub. Just saying, it would probably bode we... And then it cuts off. I don't know. Maybe it's sent on accident. Again, this is where I know I'm on an island on this, but we are viewing it through the prism of the way he looks and plays at Kentucky is the way he would look and play everywhere else in America. That if he went to another school, he would look just like that. And I just disagree with that. Maybe the playing time hasn't been there, and if you're examining and saying, well, that's why Nick Richards should leave is because the playing time won't be there, there's no Reed Travis and there's no PJ Washington. Now, there may be Nate Sestina and Kerry Blackshear that may ultimately be, you know, those amazing players that are there. But Nick Richards returning would be huge for Kentucky. Ashton Hagen's returning was big for Kentucky. So, I mean, it's amazing. Tired of the one and dones. Tired of the one and dones. Tired of the one and dones. Want guys to return. Nick Richards, oh, he sucks. He should leave. Jamal Baker, oh, who cares about that guy? Go ahead and leave. Ashton Hagen should get the hell out of here. R.J. Hampton, I want that guy. I want R.J. Hampton. I don't want Ashton Hagens. I want R.J. Hampton. Ashton Hagens, why don't you leave? Sick and tired of these one and dones. I want guys to stay around longer. Texas says, Jason, why can't you and everyone else cut the UK basketball support staff and TJ Beisner a break? You know they were all too busy watching Game of Thrones to do the Nick Richards press release last night. Maybe that is like that. it says it would probably bode well for him to not play like a scrub occasionally. Well, he does occasionally not play like a scrub. He's not a scrub defensively. That's the thing. Like, you know what it is? It's the honest Mahmood of a couple of years ago. Is that Mahmood wasn't playing well offensively, therefore he wasn't any good. But he was one of the better shot blockers in the country. Was honest Mahmood. Like, okay, you say he plays like a scrub because of what he does on offense. And again, I'm not saying he's amazing. All I'm saying is this thought that he just simply can't play ball at all is crazy. I mean, Cal made a huge mistake not playing Nick Richards more. They should. Nick Richards sucks. Who cares? They don't even need Nick Richards. It's amazing. Like, you can't be of both of those minds. Anyway, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. 267-9680 is the phone number. We didn't really hear announcements from Louisville players, Darius Perry, Dwayne Sutton, Malik Williams. Like, again, I don't expect them to go anywhere. Like, Sutton and Malik Williams, I mean, but Darius Perry has been talked about. Did Midday Rush early? I saw something on Twitter. Did they ask a question of who's more impactful for their teams, Darius Perry or
yes,
Nick
they
Richards?
Did.
Okay, well, it's Nick Richards. That's the answer. It is. Texas says, I don't want no scrubs playing in my head nonstop. Thanks a lot. No, that's true. That's Magic. And who played that? And he's right. It's playing in my head, too. Texas says, is Richards much different than Sasha Kalea Jones? He tried his hand elsewhere and didn't make it. Yeah, he's much different than Sasha Kalea Jones. Kalea Jones couldn't play defense. I mean, Kalea Jones wasn't good on offense, and he didn't play defense. Nick Richards is a good defender. All right. Texas says, first off, I hate UK, but Kerry Blackshear would have to consider what's going on with UK with the bigs because Cal has shown favoritism to his guys, even though he might have something better, i.e. Harrison getting minutes, even though Tyler Ulis was better than both twins. People are probably telling Kerry to watch out for Cal favoritism to his guys. Well, I mean, Kyle's favoritism wasn't to his guy. It was to Reed Travis. The favoritism to his guys would have been E.J. Montgomery or Nick Richards and not play Reed Travis against Auburn. But the favoritism was to Reed Travis. I mean, Travis wasn't getting force-fed the ball, but he was still playing, and that was a huge mistake in that game. That was a tactical error. They couldn't defend the rim. They couldn't stop Auburn from getting into the lane and finishing around the cup and all the points in the paint for Auburn. And yet Reed Travis, who was not a rim protector, was in the game and not E.J. Montgomery or Nick Richards. Like, those would be his guys that they would be playing. And so, look, I don't know where Kerry Blackshear is going to end up going. I don't think he's going to end up going to the NBA draft or the combine. He may end up going overseas and just want to start his professional clock. That happens too. But if he's going to transfer, I certainly think Kentucky is one of the teams. But again, he's heard from everybody. There is not a university in America that wouldn't want Kerry Blackshear on their team. And so if he's looking elsewhere and he's looking around and says, you know what, I think I might be able to play well here. I think I might be able to fit in at this spot here. Let's reach out to that coach and see if he's interested. He would have that opportunity. He would be able to do that. So it isn't a matter of just, well, you know, here's a few schools that Kerry Blackshear is going to choose between that are, you know, big name programs. You know, we talked about with Brian Bowen before we knew what actually happened with Brian Bowen. It was like, why would Bowen this late in the process, you know, all of a sudden choose Louisville? Like, well, outside of Adidas paying him money, I believe that was our take on the air, right, Magic, when Bowen announced his commitment. They were like, why would Bowen commit this late? And I'm like, well, if Adidas didn't pay him a lot of money, and this fella Christian Dawkins, who I think is totally cheating, by the way, I think Louisville, maybe not Louisville, but I think somebody's paying Brian Bowen to go to school somewhere. I called that, by the way. Go back and listen to the tape. Oh, we don't have it anymore? Oh, I guess you're going to have to take my word for it. But when we talked about it at the time, it's like, what makes sense for Bowen choosing Louisville? And it was, well, he clearly has a lot of playing time for a team that's already projected to be top 15.
We got very lucky with Tugs Bowen because we didn't expect to lose Donovan Mitchell, and we're very happy we did because he was a lottery pick. But he comes in without us ever having to spend a penny recruiting him. And sometimes in basketball you get lucky, and that was a blessing for us.
Oh, man, like those words are just so – I mean, they're nails on a chalkboard to Louisville fans, right? I mean, just – good night, how completely wrong every single aspect of that was. Just got so lucky, a blessing. Didn't spend a dime to recruit him.
Not a dime.
Not a dime. We're very happy Donovan Mitchell went pro because he's a first-round draft pick, but, you know, we got Tugs now. I mean, you know what this whole thing stems from? Donovan Mitchell being selfish and going pro after his sophomore year. How about this, Donovan? Think of the university and the program. Return for your junior year, Louisville no longer needs Tugs. Rick Pitino no longer is looking for Tugs. If Donovan Mitchell just returns, there's no need for Tugs anymore. And therefore, the whole Adidas thing doesn't happen. I mean, it's all Donovan Mitchell's fault, right? I mean, the Jazz fans are blaming Donovan Mitchell for Saturday's game. You know, I mean, it's Mitchell is the source of all frustration. Texas says, hey guys, did you hear the Shark Tank will be on campus on the 28th? So to the Aldeville family, if you have a great idea, here's your chance. Sign-in time will be from 8 to 11 a.m. Magic, you can go try out for Shark Tank.
This isn't my moment. This is your moment, double-lidded jar of peanut butter.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I'm looking for $500,000 for 10% capital. For 10% of my company. You can buy into my company at 10% and I'm looking for $500,000. You're damn right I value my company at $5 million. It's a $5 million idea. Because about 5 million times in your life, you're going to get peanut butter on your hands when you're trying to get the bottom of the jar. You know what you'll never get anymore? Peanut butter on your hands. Because I put a lid on the bottom too. I'm in, man. I'm done. I am in on that, man. All right. 437-9680. I want to hear from Scott Satterfield. But speaking of that, like the Shark Tank, two questions. One, who would be the best Shark Tank participant? Out of the office, Who's the best?
Mark Innes.
Mark? Okay. What would Mark present, though? I'm not sure. Also, did you see that? Lachlan McClain has jury duty. I don't know if you saw that because I don't know if it was put out anywhere. Did Andy and Locke talk about that this morning? I don't know that they did. If they did not, then I'll talk about it now. May 6th, Locke lets us know at the office. He sends an email letting us know that May 6th, Locke has jury duty. The Monday after the Derby, Lachlan McClain's going to be out with jury duty. Interesting. Is he the guy at the office that would be most excited for jury duty? Are you going Mark Innes again? Like, Mark Innes goes to
Different
Shark Tank.
Blankenbaker.
Blankenbaker would be the most excited for jury duty?
I think you would see it as something. Okay.
Something tells me it would be
like. If we're talking about on-air hosts, Blankenbaker. If we're talking about people just in general in the office, Patty Ice.
Why Patty Ice?
Tell me he wouldn't come in and just have a story. It's like, well, you know, I can't tell you what's going on in jury duty.
You're saying he wouldn't sequester himself? He would come in and just start talking about it.
He would try and talk around what he's doing.
He would get on the air and start talking about the case.
He'd be Toby from The Office, yes.
He would lead his sports centers with different little innuendos and references to the case that nobody knows, like inside stuff that only the other 11 jurors are like, wait a minute. Ha ha, that Patty Ice, how sneaky you are. Clever like a fox, that Patty Ice. I actually think it would be Locke. I think Locke would be the person that enjoys jury duty more than anybody else. Like, I think Locke would be the one that would be excited if they're like, hey, you're on a murder trial. He's like, all right, sequestered for 8 months.
Andy, you're on OJ. Tell you what's going on today in this murder trial.
Andy's here all alone in the midday rush for 3 months because Locke's in a capital murder case as a jury. He's got to sequester himself. He can't have any. You know, it would be great. Locke has no access to anything on TV, the internet. He's just got to like read books while he's sequestered during this capital murder trial. And when he comes out, Tiger won the Grand Slam. Tiger's win. He comes out and his mentions are, you know, 15,000 deep. The Tiger goes and wins the PGA, wins the British Open. Wins the U.S. Open, and it's like, Tiger has completed the Grand Slam. It's not the Tiger Slam. It is the Grand Slam. The next day, the jury finds this particular person, you know, innocent, guilty, whatever it is. Locke walks out, and the entire, you know, Louisville media is waiting to talk to him. not the lawyers or anything. Not the guy who was on trial that walks out. Is like, free! Locke, did you know Tiger's won the Grand Slam? No! He might be the one that enjoys it the most. Texas says, you called out Adidas paying Bowen when he committed. And you also said Louisville football would go 2-10 last year. It's true. That is right. If anybody missed that is in reference to a caller this morning with Drew Diener, who studies football. Told Drew Diener this team is definitely going 6-6 this year for Louisville football. Not speaking from a fan's perspective, and Drew was like, you're absolutely speaking from a fan's perspective. You're a fan. You just said you've been with Louisville football for like the last 30 years. You're a fan. Or the last 40 years, whatever it is. You're a fan. Like you're speaking from a fan's perspective. Maybe you think you've got more knowledge or information or ability to break down the game than another fan, but you're still speaking like a fan. And so, you know, it's that's still going to be something that you're, you know, coming from at least some place of bias to begin with in general, as most everybody does. But then he was like, no, that Bobby Petrino hire, you could tell it was bad the whole time. And Drew's like, okay, you might be guessing 6-6, but you didn't think 2-10 was going to happen last year. He's like, yes, I did.
You stick to your guns, caller.
That's exactly right. I lost it at that point. Texas says, I think Locke is the only one in the office that would prep for jury duty. It's probably right. I think that's true. Texas says, sounds like a get-out-of-post-Derby sports talk radio free card. Locke probably requested jury duty. I actually think that might be right. Like, if you were to present it to the judge, to the court, that your job, that those are very important days for your job, I don't think they would let you out of it. They would probably postpone it, you know, for another, like, 6 months or something. right? I mean, you don't just get passed up in the roll call, right, at that point. If you get selected for jury duty and you show up and you go, look, this is a terrible time for my job. Here are the reasons why I cannot miss work. And you're granted that. I don't think you get skipped over and roll. You just get pushed. It's like the cans kicked down the road, right?
Well, actually, last year I was selected for jury duty up in Burlington, Kentucky, where I'm still listed as my main address. And I told them straight up, I'm like, look, my job is media. I have to be plugged into what's going on in the media, so I would not be able to do my job if there was any sequestering. And like, okay, that's fine. And that was the end of it. They just removed me from the list. So I don't know how it was. I think it was.
So maybe that's how it is with Locke. Maybe
I think
Locke
it was a misdemeanor versus like a felony, so I don't know if that plays into it. Keith Pointer, I'll ask him.
It was one of the two. It was high crimes or misdemeanors. It was one of the two only. Locke would be the one that would prep for jury duty, though. He would be the one that walks in with a suitcase. He walks in with all the papers, files, like he's the defense. Oh, ready to go. He wants to cross-examine the witness from time to time. Locke's the one in jury duty that's asking for more. Can we get evidence 78C in here? God. We already went through this. I just want to know, okay? I'm not ready to make my decision yet, okay? A man's $500 fine is on the line, all right? If we say this man is guilty, he's got to pay $500, all right? I want to make sure we've got all the information. All right, we'll take a timeout. Number of things that we still want to get into. There was a piece in the Courier-Journal. Tim Sullivan wrote both of them. One about Neely Bendapudi's proposal for the EULA board, which I definitely want to get into because I think it goes in line with what's gone on for the past few years. And then Vince Tyre with another multi-million dollar corporate sponsor donation, or I guess sponsorship more than anything, not a donation, but they also have other donations that have come in. And so there's some numbers with that as to what has gone on in the last 12 months, where Louisville is now versus where they were in April of 2018, going into May of 2018, when they had lost, their second director of the donations. University advancement. Like, they had been through a couple in 3 months, and it was like they don't have anybody that's there. They don't have anybody in charge of going out and fundraising. They are hemorrhaging money. Nobody is giving money to the university. All of this stuff is still up in the air. Who knows what the heck's going on? And now a year later, the stability that's there, and I think it's an interesting piece and a couple of points with that as well. But we will take a timeout, come back. Scott Satterfield was on with SiriusXM. I want to weigh in with that, and it sort of ties in with the 2-10 from a year ago, caller that saw that coming. Most everybody did. If you studied the game, then you knew Louisville was going to go 2-10. Of course, everybody knows that. They were going to go from 8 wins to 2 wins, and they were going to get beat by an average of 4 touchdowns at the end of the season. If you studied the game. All right, we'll take a timeout, come back, continue rolling. Full court press, 4 o'clock. Jarrett Sutton coming up at 5 o'clock. NBA scout, works for the SEC Network as well. Going to get his thoughts on Jordan Wara and the decision in front of him, what the NBA thinks of Jordan Wara, at least what his view as an NBA scout is. Without giving us, he told us, he's like, look, I mean, when it comes down to some things that might be going on with the team, I'm not going to give you, or I can't divulge any information like that, but I can speak strictly from a scout's view, not necessarily what a team or this particular team may view him. I'm like, absolutely. I don't care about what the team that you work for views that. I care about you and what you're presenting to that team. It doesn't mean that they're going to make the decision to do that. So we'll hear from him coming up at 5 o'clock and get his thoughts on Hero and Keldon Johnson. And actually, we're only going to talk about Nick Richards. 20-minute interview with Jarrett Sutton, NBA scout, about what Nick Richards brings to the table and which NBA team is most likely to take him in the lottery.
That seems the correct approach.
Absolutely. Final four. Nick Richards is the best player in this draft, or he is a mass murderer who's also running for president?
Well, I mean, I'd say best player in the draft.
There we go. Okay, final four. That's number one. You say Nick Richards is the best player in this draft. Is Nick Richards preseason player of the year next year, or is he actually a piece of pizza?
I mean, I guess the one with the player, because I don't think he's
right. Okay,
be a pizza.
So there you go. So you not only think he's the best player in the draft, but also if he returns, he's a preseason player of the year. Is Nick Richards maybe the best shot blocker since Dikembe Mutombo, or is he the Night King?
Well, I mean, we don't actually know the identity of the Night King, so I guess he's more closer to Dikembe.
There you go. So this, you really like Nick Richards. I'm not saying that last one for you. Nick Richards will play for the team and will be the difference maker on a team that wins the national championship next year. Or he's a bagger at Kroger.
Considering the talent coming into UK, I'm going to say bagger Kroger.
That's what I thought, too.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Miss anything for The Zone? Find the podcast on ESPNLouisville.com, ESPN Louisville app, SoundCloud, or on iTunes. Now, here's Jason Anderson.
Hi, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. That's right. That's what my life motto is, what I live by right there. Texas says 437-9680. Yikes, I hope the defendant isn't a UK fan, otherwise he's a goner. Locke will say the defense was just generic. Texas says at 437-9680, to be fair, Nick Richards is also a pizza. I agree. Texas says Locke would be the one in a hung jury belittling and screaming hot takes at the poor soul with a conscience. Quote from the jury deliberations, I'm right and you're wrong, heard down the hallway. All right, Scott Satterfield was on Sirius XM Radio, college football, and was asked, or at least weighed in, on really the roster construction of his team this year and what he's looking at and how long he thinks this thing could get rolling from a personnel standpoint and going the transfer or grad transfer route right now. Here's Scott Satterfield.
It won't be fixed, you know, this spring. It won't be fixed headed into the fall. I mean, it's, you know, the way college football is now, you know, we have some grad transfers that are going to kind of come in and try to help us a little bit as we head into the fall. We all know that's just a temporary fix. And, you know, you have to fix it for us, you know, through the high school ranks, you know, and signing the quality, you know, student athletes out of high school, so you're going to be able to have them for the next 4 years. And so it's not going to be happening overnight. It's going to take a couple of years in order to get the numbers kind of where we want them. You're going to have to rely on some walk-ons, you know, just to fill in some gaps at certain positions. You know, what happens in this situation is that you just don't have very much depth. You know, I think we'll have some guys we can put out there for the first unit and be able to, you know, hold our own and play some good football. Once you get into the middle of the season, you start having some injuries, you have to come off the bench and get some guys in for depth purposes, and that's where, you know, you may struggle a little bit. And then so what we'll try to do early in the season is play a lot of guys and just kind of try to rotate and keep those guys as healthy as we can for as long as we can, knowing that we'll need them in the middle of the season toward the end of the season. But, you know, again, it's going to take a couple of years before we can get our numbers where we'd like to have them.
Those are pretty ominous comments from Scott Satterfield, right? I mean, if I know there's optimism around Louisville football because, you know, there's a new coach in place. It's not Bobby Petrino and what happened a year ago. Vince Tyree made the move that everybody wanted him to make. Well, I shouldn't say everybody. Most people wanted him to make, and that was seeing the program heading in the wrong direction without really knowing how badly the program was heading in the wrong direction, or at least how fast the program was heading in the wrong direction. Like, you saw what was going on the field, and so you knew the car was in reverse, but you had no idea that that reverse had actually gone off a cliff, and it was in the middle of falling. Like, what it was is, you know, it was a Wile E. Coyote that had ran off the cliff and the legs were still spinning. That was in the middle of the season. And it wasn't until Bobby Petrino was fired and you started hearing about all the stuff that was or wasn't going on and all the lack of recruiting until people looked down and were like, oh my God, yeah, that's right. He is, it is in a total free fall. You know, there's my Wile E. Coyote analogy for the day. We'll see what we can do tomorrow with that. Thank you. I appreciate it. That was trying to work a Wile E. Coyote reference in once a day for the next year and a half. We'll see if that happens. But, like, we knew it was heading backwards, but not to the degree that it ultimately comes out to be. And those are ominous comments from Scott Satterfield. I also think they're comments to maybe help set the tone of expectations of what the head coach thinks this year is going to be. It's going to be a season in which it feels like the coaching staff is going to be holding their breath that nobody gets injured. I mean, he said it's going to take a couple of years. They're going to rely on walk-ons to fill in a couple of spots. They're going to play a lot of players early to try to keep the players that are starters as healthy and as long as they can. So they're looking at it like he's essentially saying, yeah, we got some starters. Like, we got some talent. We got some guys that can start. Now we're going to have some walk-ons that are going to have to fill a number of other positions as well. We don't have the depth at those positions. So we're going to have to play a lot of players. And oh, by the way, when you're playing a lot of players on a team that you're saying you really hope the starter doesn't get injured, well, then how good are the backups that you're playing just so you can keep the starters fresh? Like, that's what he's essentially telling you. They are going to play a lot of players to hopefully get as much as they can out of the good players this year throughout the season. And they're going to rely on walk-ons. And it's going to take 2 years until they can get to the point of the numbers and the way they want their roster to look, because they're going to have to continue to go the high school route. They went transfers and JC and grad transfers and things like that. But the roster is so out of balance, the construction of the 85 scholarships so out of balance that, you know, they can't just simply rely on JUCOs and JUCOs and JUCOs and just turn over and over and over. And as we're talking about jury duty, just kick the can down the road over and over. Like, you're going to have to then, you know, eventually bite the bullet. Like, if you've got salary cap issues, whether it is in the NFL or you're way out over your skis in Major League Baseball with how much money you're paying versus what you can actually afford, like, there's going to come a time, especially in the NFL, where you're just going to have a few years where you suck and you got to figure out the salary cap. Like, if you continue
over and over,
that's right. Thank you, Marshawn.
And over and over and over and
right?
over and over.
That's right.
And over and over.
Yep.
And over Agreed. And over and over and over and over again.
That's right. Yes. I mean, you are going to have to take a year or two to where you're just cleaning up the salary cap in the NFL. You're continuing to restructure contracts, and you feel like you're a year away, and let's bring this guy in, and we're going to pay for this guy, and we can't lose this guy over here, so we're going to restructure this. But, you know, sometimes you might be just simply, you know, moving that salary cap, you know, balloon a year or 2 years down the road. Eventually that thing's going to pop and you're going to go, okay, well, now we can't pay a number of these guys, and we're going to have to figure out the year or two or how long it takes to get back in good standing to where you can look at building the program or building that team again or building that franchise again. And that's what it seems like Louisville has to go through right now with moving everything back to, it's got to be high school players. And they won't have high school players coming in until 2020. Think about that. Like, the 2019 recruiting class is not filled with a ton of high school players that the Louisville coaching staff wants. Their recruiting class, of where they're saying you got to go back to high school to start placing and building the foundation, ain't going to be on campus until 2020. And that comes on the heels of Vince Tyre talking about, yeah, he didn't realize how out of balance and what the roster looked like until he heard Scott Satterfield talking about it, that he thought this team was ready to compete, that they just simply weren't coached very well last year. Right, they may not have been coached very well last year. I will certainly agree with that. But that could be why they were losing by 4 touchdowns. Doesn't mean that's why they were losing. I mean, there's a difference between losing and losing by 31 points. The difference between losing and losing by, you know, 26 points to, like, Wake Forest. Not losing by 26 points to Clemson every time out. Of course, they did by more than that. But they were losing by 30 points to, you know, Syracuse and, you know, Wake Forest. Like, they were getting punked by those teams. And it's not just because, well, the coaching wasn't very good. Right. But also, players had to do with that as well. And it's a long way to go. And so Drew was talking about earlier today with Perrin Johnson. I thought it was a really good conversation about like the reasonable expectations for this Louisville football program, for this Louisville football team this year. And I think there's a difference between hope and reasonably to expect. I think hope, you can hope for a bowl game. I mean, you can hope for a lot of things in life. You can hope to win the lottery. You know, you can hope to, you know, eventually just randomly run into Keira Knightley at Kroger and, you know, all of a sudden the crazy romance is born. You can hope for that. Who knows? You know, maybe she's in town, you know, filming a movie. Who really knows what's happening? But the expectations are probably not that. And so what I said when Scott Satterfield was hired and, you know, people were looking at next year and what is to be expected, I said, get to four. And I think it's a reasonable step in the right direction because you can't simply count on Louisville beating EKU or WKU as in like those are guaranteed. Oh, well, they got two right there. Right. But they barely beat WKU last year. So I'm not going to go ahead and just say, well, they're going to win that game no matter what. They will definitely win that one. Probably by like four touchdowns. I mean, they're going to punk that team. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And they lost a lot of games by a wide margin last year. Three touchdowns and an extra point to Virginia happened last year. So that turnaround from that wide a margin takes a lot of them improvement while the other team sort of comes back and you get closer to meeting in the middle. Scott Satterfield might be a good coach. He's not a miracle worker. And so I think if you expect six wins and you say, no, this team is a bowl team, he's telling you they're not. He's telling you they're not. And I don't think he's just blowing smoke. Like, I don't think he's saying, look, this is what we're dealing with. If he looks out there and is like, boy, we can win nine games this year. Win nine games. It's a really good team. I mean, their quarterback is still going to be Puma Pass or Malik Cunningham or guy from App State. Like, they're still going to, you know, have one of those guys be quarterback. And if it's Puma, well, I mean, people weren't big fans of Puma last year. And again, there's only so much that a coach can do. And I'm not saying that, you know, he wasn't poorly coached. He might have been poorly coached. I would probably go on that route that he was. But you're not going from that guy to, you know, a guy who's really good that can carry a team that's got massive depth issues and massive issues with roster construction. I think it's going to take a while for Scott Satterfield. And what I don't want to happen and what I think would be detrimental is saying this is a bowl season. This team's a bowl team. They should be a bowl team. And then when they win three or four games, you're like, yeah, that's a disappointment. Well, that's because your expectations were way too high. And again, that's where I think the expectations versus hope comes in. Because, you know, I joked about it on Twitter earlier today that, you know, a guy called in and said that, you know, he thinks the Louisville team is guaranteed to be a six-win team. It's a bowl team because of how poorly they were coached last year. And he's like, I'm not speaking from a fan's perspective. And Drew said, yeah, you're speaking from a fan's perspective. You didn't expect them to go 2-10 last year. And he's like, yeah, I did. It's like, okay. Look, it's one thing to say I think they can go 6-6. It's another thing to say, well, last year I thought they were going to be 2-10. Like, come on, man. Like, nobody believes you. Nobody believes you at all. Your parents probably don't believe you at that point. Like, come on, no, you don't. You didn't think they were going to go 2-10 last year. So there's an expectation and there's sort of a hope. And so I put that out there, and a lot of the responses were, you don't think Louisville can go 6-6? You don't think? I'm like, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, he's saying they're definitely going to go 6-6 because he totally saw that they were 2-10 last year. He predicted that one. What I'm saying is, saying the expectation is a bowl game is setting up for failure. The expectation is you'd better get to a bowl next year, or, you know, this program's already starting off on the wrong foot. I think you can hope for that. I think you can hope that, you know, they can take care of business in some games, but where are the conference wins coming from? Again, you're talking about games that were massive differences, massive spreads there. And you got a coach that's saying it's going to take a couple of years. You got a coach that's saying they're going to rely on walk-ons. Not that, oh, yeah, no, walk-ons can help us. We're going to rely on walk-ons to help this year. And the depth is an issue. I just think there are so many problems with this Louisville program right now that Scott Satterfield has to build out of from what Bobby left behind. Like, he left behind a dumpster fire. You just didn't realize what was in that dumpster. And that's what Scott Satterfield is trying to rebuild on. And it is not going to be easy to be able to do. And I think he's giving hints, and I think he's letting, you know, people know of what ultimately, you know, next couple of years are going to look like. And it's not going to be fun, and it's going to be difficult to be a Louisville football fan because it's going to take some growth. And a year or two, recruiting class or just simply quitting or not doing your job has massive impacts on a program. Missing a year of a recruiting class and mismanaging roster construction for a couple of years can really, really set you back. And that's what Scott Satterfield's dealing with. What Vince Tyree is dealing with, and this came out in the Courier Journal, and a couple quick points with that, in that Vince Tyree, another $2 million donation sponsorship, Tim Sullivan wrote about it, that the total value of the five, you know, multi-million dollar sponsorships comes to $17.5 million. There's another $4.2 million that's been raised from individual donations over the last 12 months. And while we're talking about, you know, the Bobby Petrino stuff, billable hours for the lawyers, the FBI stuff, Rick Pitino's lawsuit that's going on, and we're talking about where Louisville is in terms of money, you know, a lot of that is looking at where they were a year ago and how quickly downhill and backsliding the donations were, and really the Chicken Littles. And it was that, you know, Tom Jurich, when he leaves, look at all the money he's going to... Like a year ago, the conversation by those that were not on board with Tyree or still in the Jurich camp was, see what happens? Look, Jurich is gone and the money dries up. Without acknowledging the fact that money can be drying up because you were still, what, 8 months removed from the audit that was just damning for what was going on at the university at the higher up level. And it takes a while to earn trust back. And I think Vince Tyree has done a pretty darn good job of doing that, to at least get back in the mold, get back into the point to where they're raising money, they're getting, you know, a multi-million dollar sponsorships, that it isn't just everything's run dry and you're walking through a desert or crawling through a desert trying to find a dime.
You're listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.